This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 191. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can email us on
coach@pitchvision.com.
And you can call us on
020-88-167-691.
My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week I'm joined by Mark Garraway and Berners. Welcome to the show, Garrus, and welcome back, Berners, from your travels.
Morning.
Or afternoon or evening, depending on where you are in the world and when you're listening to this sometime in the future. How does it feel to be back on terra firma, Berners?
Wow, Mud Island. Delightful place. Grey, murky, but Christmas just around the corner. So a few series going on. We've all got televisions these days, so we've got enough to keep us going.
We've all got television these days.
Yeah, we've got television. I've got wireless as well, wireless radio.
Have you really?
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, it's amazing.
Best of both worlds. Best of both worlds here.
And Gareth, you're doing what you trailed a couple of weeks ago. You're up in Loughborough at the moment.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sitting in Burley Court at Loughborough, and we've got interviews starting at 8 o'clock this morning, which the process runs all the way through. We do a good long day, about 12 hours, look at 4 candidates, and it's been interesting so far because they have to present on their journey through the Level 4 programme, which is a minimum of 2 years, mm-hmm. Then give us 2 examples of technical intervention that they've done with players and integrated practice around the technical areas that they've done with players. Then they have to do 2 areas of research, and then they get put into 2 rooms with 2 panels of experts who grill them for 75 minutes in each room on things, and they come out absolutely exhausted, but hopefully with a Level 4 qualification.
It's like The Apprentice.
That's not a patch on my interview for Pitch Vision, Gareth. Not a patch on it. You should have seen what they did to me.
Yeah, I think they come out having a pretty tough experience, but one that they can take some confidence from.
Obviously, you can't talk about specifics, but is there anything that you've seen that has particularly made you think, oh, that's interesting, or not that's an angle which I haven't seen before?
But not really, in terms of the stuff that they're presenting. Obviously, I'm very close to and have experienced across the years. What is very good is to see the depth of coaching talent that's coming in, because we started this Level 4 process 13 years ago, and I was on the first cohort of it. And now we're getting guys that aren't necessarily associated with the international game or even first class cricket, but we're getting people coming through who are working with players in county age groups and non-first class county emerging players programs, and the stuff that they're talking about are things that can only grow the game in England and can only support elite players and emerging elite players coming through in any of those environments. So as a country, I think England sits really well because you've got a depth of knowledge going throughout so many environments that are helping to develop these cricketers and get them into the test side.
One of the things that I've been looking at this week, speaking of new things, something that's new to me, but is quite well established in the baseball world, is the idea of the long toss. And I wanted to have a chat about that and find out more about how applicable that is within a cricketing environment. So, Berners, you've worked a little bit with baseball, haven't you? Have you ever seen the long toss in action?
I haven't. I'm intrigued to find out more. I've read a little bit, but I've never come across it, no.
Well, it's a baseball pitching training method. So obviously you've got the idea of the bent arm in baseball pitching that you haven't got in fast bowling. But the idea is that you start from a certain distance apart, a small distance apart, just sort of lobbing the ball gently to a partner, and you move slowly backwards until you're an extremely long distance away, anything up to 300 yards away from the person who's doing the catching. And then you walk back in again and you start throwing flatter and harder until you're a relevant distance away, and then you're throwing very, very hard indeed. And the idea is to open up the arm, as they say, and help prevent injury, but also increase pitching velocity. So, of course, when I saw that, I thought to myself, well, I wonder if there's an application there in cricket fast bowling. Have you ever seen anything like that used in fast bowling, Gerris?
I haven't, but actually, as a process, I've seen it work within throwing within cricket because obviously, throwing in cricket, we've taken a lot of information from baseball. So that is one of the drills that you can do. And a friend of mine, Will Linton, calls it the stretching out phase. And yeah, there's no reason why that couldn't operate within fast bowling, actually, because there's obviously some and big similarities between the two arts.
I mean, the obvious two differences in my mind, and whether this is enough to make it relevant or not, I don't know. But the obvious two differences are with pitching, baseball pitching, you're just throwing into a glove. You're not, there's no, you don't have to hit the ground. You don't have to throw it down onto the ground. So there's, and the other thing is that you have the straight arm as compared to the bent arm. So I wonder if, sort of free thinking, if you like, I wonder if either of those two differences are going to cause a problem when you're thinking about a long toss program for bowlers.
Yeah, the answer is to that I don't know, and I'd have to test it. That I mean, that's a simple approach that I take to anything, rather than dismissing it as a wacky idea. You know, let's give it a go. So, if you're going to set me the challenge, and I might give that a go when I get out in Dubai, mate.
From my understanding of it, it sounds awfully like we might have a few beamers that are slung into the to the fray, with the practical nature of you throwing it further. So you're adopting a training skill whereby someone's throwing the ball further than they have to.
You are, and the idea for that being is, as Gareth say, it opens the arm out and it stretches out the arm and teaches you to really put power into the ball. But then the all important aspect is to then be able to convert that into the actual back into the actual skill, and that's when you walk back in and start doing it in baseball terms, throwing it flatter. Until you and then you and at the end of that you go and bowl. So you've got the three different phases that you have to do in the specific order to make sure that the benefit of throwing a long distance translates back into pace and accuracy of actually bowling. So yeah, that would be it's an interesting tell. I don't even know how you would construct a program really that would, because it would look a bit odd if you got the bowler, 150 yards away bowling it in a very high loop up to something.
I think you'd have to apply it to the correct level of player as well. Like, I don't think you'd necessarily do this with a beginner. I think they might get a little bit confused into the skill sets required. So it would have to be a good understanding of the player to understand what the actual purpose and outcome of the drill was.
I'll tell you what it will do. One of the key indicators of somebody who can bowl really fast is a delayed bowling shoulder coming through. So, you know, holding that back and then slingshotting it effectively. And doing that over a long distance would and sort of encourage and facilitate that happening, rather than just bringing it through, you know, at the normal time that you do. And all the best quick bowlers in the world have that delay in their bowling arm and then really snap it through. So I think it's a really interesting principle. I probably would find that you wouldn't necessarily have to go 200, 300 yards or 150 yards in order to get the best out of it. But in terms of Berners's question, which is a really valid question about beamers, all of the time that you're doing it, you're building up your kinesthetic awareness of release points, aren't you? Because you're stretching out, you're releasing differently to get the ball to go to bigger distances, but also you're building your kinesthetic awareness to go flatter as you walk back in again. And that is the art of bowling, and bowling length in particular, and shifting length is about that kinesthetic awareness. So there's lots of things about this hypothetical drill that do make sense. And as I say, it's all about trying it out and seeing how it goes.
A protocol needs to be developed and then tested, doesn't it? And then see if it. But it's interesting because it's controversial even within baseball, even though it's been used a lot in baseball. Even within baseball, it's a controversial topic. There's some people who are big supporters of it and say, "Well, this got me through my career." Some pitchers who say that, and then there's others who say, "Well, I never done anything like that in my life, and I can still pitch the ball at 90 miles an hour. Thanks very much." So it's a controversial area even in baseball, but I think it's an idea that can be toyed with, and that's why I wanted to bring it up on the show to see if maybe if anyone out there has experimented with it themselves to see what to see what's out there. So if you're listening and you've experimented with some kind of long toss style program, then yeah, let us know how it happened, and maybe we can get some feedback on the effectiveness of this method within cricketing circles.
No, it's an interesting one, mate. A good one to bring up.
And let's finish off this little introduction with the yes-no round. Berners has three questions for us. We can only answer yes or no to each of the three, no matter what we want to say. So, Berners, what are the three questions this week?
First question, Test cricket should allow tactical substitutions.
No.
No.
Poll result, 57% no. Second question, having coaches for different international formats is the future.
Yes.
Yes.
Poll result, 56% yes. Third question, 70 to 80% of young fast bowlers have problems with their actions.
Yes.
No.
Poll result, 61% yes. They believe what they read, guys.
And if you want to take part in that poll, by the way, you can head over to pitchvision.com/academy and have a look on the sidebar on the right, and you'll see the yes-no round questions, four clicks, and you're done. So nice and easy, and you can contribute to the show. Every week on the show, we answer your questions. And, of course, the best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course. Courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com, and you can send in your questions from there as well. So this week we've got a couple of questions to be answered, and Berners, you've got those. So what's the first one of the week?
So our first question comes in from Elvis. He lives. He's 13 years old, and he's playing men's cricket, and he's saying that the average speed for most of the men is around 130 to 140 k's. So translate to about 80 to 90 miles per hour, and they've started bowling me bouncers, so I'm not quite sure where he's playing where they're bowling those kinds of speeds. But anyway, he's saying that he backs away currently, and the ball just tends to pop up in the air, so he just wants to know how he can eradicate this problem. And he's also obviously got a bit of a fear of getting in behind the short ball at this pace and actually taking the ball on, which I guess is a worry to all young players, is that is the big hard red thing coming towards your head. So how do we help him out, guys?
Well, I think the clue is in the beginning of the question there, saying that he's got people bowling at 87 miles an hour at him as a 13-year-old. I don't think that that is happening. So what I think, I mean, it's hard to say for sure, but I would find that unlikely to be happening. So what that's telling me is that he's thinking that the ball is coming down at breakneck speed much, much faster than it actually is coming down to him. So he's a little bit scared, and that is what's making him back away, because he's got that fear of getting hurt. And that is a valid fear, because cricket ball is a hard thing. If it hits you, even at 60 miles an hour, it's going to leave a bruise. So you're quite right to have that little fear of getting hit. But what that should do is encourage you towards building up your technique to a point where you have confidence in yourself that you're going to either be able to play the ball or get out of the way of the ball in an effective manner. And you can practice that by somebody starting with a softball and throwing it at you from short, using a tennis racket, something like that, and you working out a method that gets you to moving, say, back and across to get into line, hitting the ball, or being able to sway out the way or duck under the short one.
I think you've nailed it on the head there, mate. And I'm not going to offer any technical stuff on top of that, because you got to the nub of the question. And as we well know, is when people bowl bounces, the impact of a ball hitting the pitch creates friction, obviously, and that friction has a decelerating effect on the ball. So by the time Stuart Broad, for example, bowls a bouncer, by the time it gets to a batter, it's probably getting there at 68 miles an hour. miles an hour, as opposed to the, you know, 90 mile an hour that he may have released the ball at. So, you know, that's a good thing when you're facing Stuart Broad, but when you're facing in club cricket and you're a 13-year-old cricketer, it's great to know that actually the velocities that you're talking about are going to be significantly less than that. And the reason why you brought that point, and I now bring up that point, is that when we get into a situation where there's a threat that in front of us, and the threat being a hard cricket ball coming at us at whatever speed, we have choices, and our innate nature as human beings going back millions of years give us the choice. We either choose to fight it and take on the challenge, we choose to run, or we choose to freeze. And those are the three innate things that we have. And obviously, by making the challenge, the threat, less threatful, in that the speeds aren't as quick as Elvis believes they are, that will make you think, hang on a minute, actually it's not 87 miles an hour, it's not 140 kilometers an hour, and therefore the threat is less. So that means I can take on this challenge, because there are ways of getting through it. So you're absolutely right. Deal with the reality. The reality is that the ball velocity isn't reaching you anywhere near the speed that you thought it was. And then all of a sudden the challenge becomes a surmountable one rather than an impossible one. So, yeah, I think you've nailed it, mate. I can't add anything more to that.
Yeah, especially with short bowling, a lot of it is about what's going on in your head, isn't it? I think, you know, I mean, technique is very important. That's something that you can work on. But I think that the real breakthrough is when somebody thinks to themselves, okay, I am capable of handling that kind of delivery. It's not something which I should be afraid of, because I know I can play it. That changes the whole game. And then it's less about technique and more about what's going on in your head.
Right. Next question comes in from Naveen. And he's asking, is it possible for a young club cricketer to make it big without coaches and academies these days, but with the help of television, considering the amount of cricket, international, domestic, IPL, Champions League, you name it, it's all on the telly these days. And of course, all of it comes along with expert views and fantastic panels of ex-former cricketers and coaches. He also mentions our website and the ability of that to kind of get inside people's heads and allow them to get an insight of the game from the mental side, physical side and technical side. And he just wants to know if these coaching methods can really tick the boxes for club cricketers and get them to where they need to be.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, that, isn't it, Gareth? How far can you get just with the resources that are available to you now that weren't available 5 years ago?
The answer is that I don't think people can make it to the top without academies and so forth. And the reason why I say that, and coaching, the reason why I say that isn't because of the information that you can pick up through television and then practice and all of that stuff, because that's massive. And I would love to be in a position to say, yeah, I think you can do it. The challenge is having your talent identified in the first place. And obviously you need those coaches and those structures to go through to be identified as a talented player. So whilst the coaching you could question, the fact is that there are pathways that get people into international cricket, and the pathways involve coaches and a player going through those different environments. So the notion, I agree with, you could possibly do it, but the practicality is that you go through the various environments, you know, with big companies and what have you, and come across all of these different coaches in order to be identified.
Yeah. The way I see it is similar to you, Gareth, in that, yeah, there's a structure in place that there's nothing you can do much about yourself. But what you can do is you can use these resources that are now available to you, which are compared to when I was a young cricketer, back when everything was black and white. It's just incredible. You know, I used to have to save up my pocket money to go down to the bookshop to buy a coaching book, which was already probably 10 years out of date when I bought it. And then I would treasure that book as the gospel, and the only answer and the exact way to do things. And now there's such a huge amount of resources available without having to even pay any money, let alone the stuff which is available in the online coaching and Pitch Vision Academy. So I think you can use all of that stuff to get to a point where you are recognized by the system. And then once you're in the system, you can still use that information to grow as a player, etc., etc. But you still have to be within the system, and listening to the coaches and doing all the traditional stuff, because otherwise it's not, the dream is not going to come true. But it definitely is. There's more access for more people than ever before. Someone who hasn't necessarily got access to a coach, or the coach that they have, they perhaps don't trust. There's just so many resources available as backup information that you can access now, and that is just incredible to me. Mind-blowing, really, when you consider what it was like 20 years ago.
Oh no, I completely agree. And again, ultimately, it comes down resources that are available now, and they are numerous, but as we all know, that they vary in quality sometimes. So you've got to be very choosy and picky about what you take in and what you don't. And that's exactly the same as when you're being coached by anybody, because there'll be certain things that I say to a player which are absolutely on the money and pertinent to that player. And if he chooses to take that on board, then he'll improve. But equally, I'm sure there's been times where I've given somebody a bit of duff advice, or a bit of advice that they don't connect with, or they wouldn't connect with, but yet they've tried to put it in place and it's not worked for them. So, the skill of being a player, I think, is to use all of the resources around you, both your own feedback that you give yourself, your coach's feedback, all of these resources, but doing it in a skillful fashion. So you pick the bits out that make, filter out the good bits from the not so good bits, and then apply them solidly in your game, and you can't go too far wrong.
Yeah, even more, that filter has to be so finely tuned. The more information that is available now, the more finely tuned your filter has to be. And that's a real skill that in the 80s and the 90s, for example, going back before that even, you didn't have to have that because you had one coach and they told you the one way to do
Yeah, well, that
it.
was it. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly right.
Bernard, if you had access to the information that's available now when you were a youngster growing up, where would you be now?
Nowhere, I can't read.
I thought you were going to say opening the batting for England.
No, I think, yes, you often think, don't you, when you see all this stuff these days and you wonder where you might have been. And I think it's more to do with your mindset when you're young rather than the information. But yeah, definitely would help. But I would love to go back and do a few things differently from my youth. I think it's just your decision making half the time, isn't it? With half of these kids and these guys that make it and go on, it's just because they went down the right avenues and they're a little bit more focused than all the rest of us. Not necessarily that they were any better or had better tools. I think doesn't really make too much difference, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of factors, isn't it? I think the raw talent is just one of those factors. It's being in the right place at the right time. It's getting the right coach. It's getting access to the right information. It's doing the right thing with that information. All of those things put together are where somebody ends up, rather than there isn't just this kind of you're born with a ball of talent, and then if that ball of talent is big enough, then you're going to be playing international cricket by the time that you're 25. It doesn't work like that. It's not an inevitability. There's too much else going on.
I like the kind of avenue they've gone down with the live broadcast of almost educating people on the game that might not necessarily be a huge fan, but might be tuning in. And they have things like the green screen with the guy stood in front of it, what Nasser Hussain or someone that's showing someone how to play a shot. They've also got the football-esque screens with the field placements and things like that. So I think all of that's really great for promoting the game of cricket more than anything, than obviously educating people, but it's telling people what's going on. And it's a nice way of doing it. And if they can involve some creative ways of doing that, all the better.
Yeah, if that spark turns into watching more international cricket on television, playing more cricket, and then seeking out a website and a podcast like Pitch Vision Academy, and then putting those little tricks into action, and then doing it. I mean, that's the real key, isn't it? Going out there and doing it consistently, and even when it's hard, still going and doing it. And those are the guys who, even in the face of failure, still carry on doing it. And that's a story that you consistently hear from top players, is they've overcome that adversity and they didn't give up when it got tough. And that's what got them to the top. No one had a smooth path to the top. So we've drifted away from the question, but I guess what we're saying is there's definitely a role for it, but it's more about what you're doing as an individual than where you're getting that information from. Time for the soapbox, and every week there is 60 seconds of a rant, and I think my favourite ranter is Berners. So this week, over to you.
This week it was emphasised somewhat when I was in India, actually, and obviously Indian coaching is somewhat restricted to other places due to the resources available, but stagnant coaching techniques is something I come into close connection with, having worked for Pitch Vision in the last 4 years, and it's always that coach that just, it's like that 1970s haircut, the short back and sides. They need to upgrade to the Mohican with the purple sides and the green strip down the middle. There's technology out there, there's new ideas. Don't necessarily have to always choose those options, but just be aware of them and maybe, you know, adopt them into the everyday mundane training sessions that these coaches preach by. So all I'm saying is, coaches, get some new ideas, get some fresh haircuts, be a bit wacky, maybe look at some technology, and let's move things forward. We're not driving Fiat Unos anymore, are we? Ford Cadillacs, they're gone. It's all about the future. Airbags, ABS brakes. Come on, get with the times.
That's the end of the show for this week. Before we go, before Gareth has to race off to another level four appointment, is that we need to decide on our competition winner for the week. So we had Elvis's question about facing fast bowling, and Naveen's question about online coaching and watching telly. So which one did you prefer, Gareth?
Well, I'm going to go with Elvis's question this week, because I think it's really valid, and not just in line with bouncers, actually, but facing a threat and perceiving what that threat is, and then seeing it as a challenge and being able to work with it and come through in a successful fashion. I think that's something that happens across the board with young cricketers in particular, and hopefully through our discussions and the great answer that you gave, David, you know, some young cricketers can learn and apply that into many situations, not just against a bouncer.
If you wanted to get in touch with the show yourself to have your question answered and win the prize, which is the online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com, you can do so. Berners, how would they do that?
Give us a call, the number 02088 167 691, or if you've got the luxury of email, it's coach@pitchvision.com.
Yes, you can also get us on Twitter, 140 characters, at PV Cricket Coach. And you can listen to the show every week if you subscribe in iTunes, and you can do that by doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy within iTunes. If you don't want to use iTunes, then you can find our feed for the show at pitchvision.com/academy. Just click on the podcast link there. Just enough time for a tail ender. Cracking flags. Heard that one before, Berners?
I haven't. Here
I
we
have.
Go.
I have. Isn't it about the weather? And is it about clear skies and stuff like that?
Look, perfect cricket weather, which I guess would be depends what kind of a player you are, I suppose. But I always think it is a nice warm day, not many clouds in the sky, and a little bit of a breeze to keep you nice and cool.
Yeah, that's certainly my Tasmania, Hobart. I remember it cracking flags in Hobart. Yeah.
Exactly. What, Berners, you like that nice clear sky, nice flat track, so you can give it some welly?
Absolutely. Nice belter of a track, good cut outfield, fresh daisies growing. Beautiful.
The nightmare for a bowler, but the batsman love it. Okay, so that's all for this week. I'll let you go, Gareth. So until next time, we'll see you next week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Berners.
Cheers, Coach.